special. You're nothing I don't know. It's something existential, transparent in your soul. And it's getting kind of old, has me feeling pretty cold. I'm not scared to let it out until the end is set in stone. Now I'm burying this bone until it's resting deep.
Welcome to the Thank You Rob podcast, episode number
34.
Unofficially sponsored by Pearson's Salted Nut Roll, made right here in St. Paul, Minnesota. Don't be a butthole, eat a Pearson Salted Nut Roll. You can check out past episodes of this show at thankyourob.com, where you can also check out my graphic design work, which is mind-blowing and life-altering, known as I Define Design. You can also check out my other podcast called Some People's Kids Podcast. While you're at it, check out this podcast on Fuzz Talk Radio at fuzztalkradio.com. Here we are, episode number 34. I'm here with Breakneck the Mage. How you doing, man?
Doing good, Rob. How about you?
I'm doing all right. We're here at the Spy House Coffee Shop. They were nice enough to let us do this here.
Beautiful day today,
yeah,
too.
It is, yeah. And there's no natural breeze coming through here. And you think, oh, there is. There's a window open.
Yeah. I don't feel a breeze, but...
No. Oh. We're here. Which location is this? Hennepin? We're across from the Fifth Element.
Yeah, the Hennepin 25th. It. Yep. Uptown.
Established in 2000, if I'm not mistaken, according to my coffee cup.
The proof of it is right there in your coffee cup.
So we were just talking, the last episode I had Nemo the Hooligan on, the Hooligan of Slip Mats. We talked about aliens, and you know Nemo, you used to live with him.
I know Nemo very well, yeah, he's interesting, he's one of the smartest people I know, for sure.
So I just asked you this before, but I'm going to ask you even though this isn't on the air, are you a believer?
Yeah, I would say I'm a believer.
All right.
I don't really know much about it, but I guess no one really knows much about it.
This is true. You've never been abducted then, or?
No abductions.
That you know of, at least.
That I know of. No experiences. Nah.
Well, it's the thing is they might wipe your memory. You have no idea.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Men in black shit.
Yeah. We won't get that far into it, you know, otherwise, yeah, it'd go on for hours. But we're here today, episode number 34, growing up in Minnesota. What does the number 34 represent to you?
Well,
does it have any significance to you?
The number 34, the thing is I didn't really grow up in Minnesota. But Kirby Puckett definitely has some significance. That was the first thing I thought of when I heard the number 34. I know I might have just blown your surprise that we were talking about Kirby Puckett.
We had to say it eventually.
But as soon as you said it was the 34th episode, I immediately thought of all the athletes that were number 34. And he's probably the most famous. Well, I don't know if he's the most famous. I guess I don't know everyone, but
right. What's
he's
another
up there.
Another 34.
Well, Shaquille O'Neal for a while was 34. He started as number 32.
Yeah.
He went to 34. Ray Allen, I believe, was 34.
Okay.
I'm from Wisconsin originally, so when he was on the Bucks, he was number 34.
Okay.
And he's one of my favorite basketball players ever. You got like Thurman Thomas, if you're going back to the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
He was 34.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of them. We can't think of them right now, but I know there's a bunch of them. It's a pretty common number, I guess.
I don't care about any other 34 other than Kirby Puckett. No,
true.
that's really disrespectful of me to say, and I apologize to those athletes that are 34s.
He's the only one that matters today, though.
Yes, this is true. Anthony Kirby Puckett. Did you know his first name is really Anthony?
I actually did know that, yeah. From Chicago.
Yep. The South Side. South Side. He actually was neighbors with Common. Did you know that?
Is that really a fact?
Nope, I made it up.
Wow. You had me, like, freaked out for a second. That would have been crazy.
Yeah, but he actually, when he went to the University of Chicago, Kanye's mom was one of his professors. I made that up, too.
You made that up?
Yeah. I'm just trying to make it more interesting.
That one was very believable, though.
Yeah.
You had me on that one.
I think Kanye's mom really was a teacher, professor.
Yeah, supposedly. I don't know what university. There's about a million of them in Chicago, but she's a teacher somewhere there.
Right. Yeah. Not anymore. She did.
Yeah. Yes.
Ooh, rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Mrs. West. Yeah.
Awkward.
Yeah. Kirby Puckett. Let's get into him. Twins franchise all-time leader in hits, runs, doubles, total bases.
Career average over 300, wasn't it? Yeah. Or did it dip below at the end?
Career average? At the time of his retirement, he was 318.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was career 300 hitter. Right. Pretty big accomplishment.
Yeah. It basically came from, the ghetto, south side of Chicago, and I didn't know that he didn't get any scholarships or anything. He was basically out of high school, that is.
Yeah.
Into college. Basically, he worked at the Ford Assembly plant for a little bit. This is all on Wikipedia, by the way. If you want to open up the Wikipedia page for Kirby Puckett and just follow along. No, it's interesting stuff, though. He was drafted by the Twins in 82, and he played in a couple farm leagues, and not for long, a couple years. And what was it? May 8th of 84 against the Angels. They brought him up. Kirby, this is it, man. Let's see what you can do.
That was almost a year exactly before I was born. Wow. Kirby Puckett made his debut for the Twins.
Right. It's a sign.
Yeah.
What does it mean? What does it mean? Obviously, an integral part of the Twins in the 90s.
Baseball in general, 80s, really.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
10-time All-Star.
10-time right? All-Star, 6 Gold Glove winner, 6 Silver Slugger winner. Really good role model. I mean, this is why I wanted to talk about him, was like, as a kid growing up in Minnesota, I don't know about you in Wisconsin, when did you move here?
I actually only moved here I moved here like 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I lived here before for like a year or two in college as well, but okay. Then moved back, and then I've been back again for like 3 years. But
so are you a Brewers fan by heart?
I am.
I gotta say, the Brewers have one of the coolest logos in all of baseball. The glove.
The ball and glove.
Yeah, ball and glove. That's,
you know, that logo cool. was actually, that logo was designed by a student in my hometown at my alma mater, UW Eau Claire.
Really?
So, yeah.
That's cool.
Someone way before I went there, obviously, designed that. And, yeah, it became one of the more iconic baseball logos, I guess. Then they switched it.
Yeah.
They went back to it.
Yeah, they'll
God.
Always go back to that throwback. That's not their original logo, though, is it?
No, there was one before that, which was like a guy swinging a bat with a beer barrel around his body.
Okay.
Which is actually a really cool logo, too.
Yeah.
But
I like the throwbacks. So.
Yeah.
I got family in Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm familiar with the Brewers, and I've never been to a game at... Is it Miller?
Miller Park.
Yeah, I'd love to. That's beautiful.
It's great.
Driven by there.
It's a great, great stadium.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, living in Eau Claire, that's only like an hour west of the, or hour east of the city, so lots of Twins fans around there, and we always went to games at the Metrodome because it's so much, Milwaukee's like almost 4 hours from Eau Claire, and Minneapolis is way closer, so I went to a lot of Twins games growing up, and...
Even today, going to a Twins Brewers game is like majority Brewers fans there, you know?
It's great, yeah. Me and Missy went to both of them this year at Target Field. It was awesome. The Brewers lost both games, but...
Wow. How are they doing this year so far?
Terrible, man. And our best player suspended for the rest of the year because of his PED usage.
Yeah.
Yeah, their record's worse than the Twins.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
Yeah. I have kids, so my oldest kid is 5 years old. He's in karate, and they had a little contest in karate about if you win this, you win something. And he lost, and he was broken up about it. At 5 years old, that kind of shit is tough.
Yeah.
And I had to explain to him winning and losing, right? And I had to use the Twins as an example. It was like you win some, you lose some. You love the Twins. But they rarely win.
They're not going to win all the time.
Right,
yeah.
But Kirby Puckett, man, the reason I ever played, that's not the reason I ever played baseball, but it was definitely like, it played a part.
Kirby
Puckett and the whole team, really, but him especially. outfield. I always wanted to be center field.
And he was such a great fielder, too.
Mm-hmm. I would say, put me in, coach. Look at me. I can be center Kirby. Field.
He didn't look athletic either, no, yeah. But he was.
Yeah.
Very athletic.
5'8"? I think he was 5'8".
That is so short, too. Yeah.
And he was quick, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I was saying, he was a good role model up until...
Or so we thought.
So we thought, yeah. March 2002, a woman filed an order for protection against Puckett's wife, Tanya, alleging that Tanya had threatened to kill her over an alleged affair with Puckett. Now, this is the thing. You got to remember this. Baseball players are on the road like half the season. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time to be away from your family, man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know?
It adds up to months.
Yeah.
Months every year.
So maybe Puckett wasn't so loyal to his the old lady back home.
And even when you're at home, you're not really like, you know, at home, you're worried about baseball. When you're getting paid that much, you have to... During the season, you're pretty much worried about baseball the whole time.
Right.
So.
You know, I'm going to use this term, erection. Erection. All right. The word, you know, the rumor is if you were to say get an erection as a man in an awkward spot, you think about baseball. Do you think that's easy for baseball players? They're like, oh, I just think about baseball. And bam, I'm good. No pants malfunction here.
Man, I never heard that before. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think about that. For baseball players, it probably has the opposite effect, right?
Yeah, it could be, because baseball might be associated with going on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, meeting up with their mistress in every other city.
Partying and all that.
Right.
Whatever else.
Yeah. But this... specific incident here with his wife and his whatever mistress this lady was wasn't the end of it. That same month in March 2002, that's pretty much the downhill spiral. That was the snowball effect. Another woman asked for protection from Puckett, saying that he shoved her in a Bloomington condo. Shoved her. Yeah. And then in September 2002, Puckett was charged with false imprisonment, fifth-degree criminal sexual conduct, and a fifth-degree assault after being accused of groping a woman in a bathroom at a restaurant. Do you remember? I don't remember where that was.
No, I don't.
I don't remember. There was like a restaurant. It's known. But a jury later found him not guilty of all counts. And actually, I used to work with a guy who his buddy, obviously most guys who are raised in Minnesota become fans of or are big fans of the Twins, big fans of Kirby Puckett in general.
Mm-hmm.
This buddy of his witnessed this, and he had to be a witness in court.
Oh, really?
And it's like your idol, you know what I mean? And you have to testify against him, because he has to tell the truth, you know,
yep.
Under the court of law.
Man.
Yeah, but either way, they found him not guilty on all counts, but something like that tarnishes your image pretty good, so. It was kind of, it was unfortunate, because Puckett was really, he did a lot of community work. You know,
yeah,
in the public eye, and he had the great guy persona, you know.
Yep. That smile he had, he was just—he looked like a fun guy, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, let's go back to that shoving incident, though. That's pretty scary because he's big, you know.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to be shoving women around.
A little bit shorter, broad.
Yeah.
So he's got that low center of gravity. Shoving someone, he'd probably push you to the ground.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah,
strong guy.
Yeah. So I think just to shake things off here, he moved to Arizona with so him and his wife must have gotten a divorce, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so.
And I don't know if this was the wife or the girlfriend that had the protection order against his wife, but him and his fiance at the time moved to Arizona in 2003 and they basically just kind of got out of the public eye. And then he had a hemorrhagic stroke.
Sounds right.
Sure, let's go with that. And then he died on March 6, 2006.
How old was he again?
45. It was just days before his 46th
45.
Birthday.
It's way too young.
Yeah, yeah. I think that he put on a lot of weight. I remember seeing pictures of him like coming back for his Hall of Fame induction, and I was like, man, he's packed it on. Kent Hrbek, same deal. You know? He's gotten pretty big.
I remember people being like pretty worried about Kirby, worried about his weight. He had packed so much on at the end there.
Yeah.
Probably like depression and stuff went into that, I'm sure.
Well, you know, they probably practiced or did. He was really physical playing baseball, and when you don't every day, it takes a toll. Speaking of Kent Hrbek putting on some weight, I don't know if you're familiar. Yeah. The first year the Target Field opened, they had I think it was a combination of the 87 or 90 and 91 World Series teams, like, come back and play, like, a game. They're playing a game. You know, actually, it was probably against the Braves, so it was probably the 91 team. Hrbek was playing. He's playing first base. And there was a pop fly. Like, it was a foul ball, but he was running for it. And he's a big guy, even bigger than before. And he tripped a little bit and, like, dove.
Yeah.
And his knee hit the ground, and it made such a huge indent. You could probably see this on YouTube. It's worth watching.
Really?
Just to see this indent, that just this body mass
That's
made
funny.
From his knee. It might have even been his elbow, but it was just, yeah, he's a big guy.
Herbie.
So, yeah.
Herbie
and Kirby, yeah. Those were the good days, man. Puckett was part of the 87 team and 91, obviously.
Yeah.
91 with the Ron Gant, Kent Hrbek incident, which, again, if you're unfamiliar, look up Kent Hrbek, Ron Gant, 1991 World Series incident. It's definitely worth watching. It's just a questionable, you know.
Questionable.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
So how about you? As you were a Brewers fan at the time, what did you think of the Twins or around that era?
In like 91, you mean? Or
sure.
What,
so 87, you were probably a little too young then. And
87, I don't remember. I remember my dad telling me about the 87 team and stuff. And, the 91 team, I guess, because I would have been, you know, I was like 6, maybe 7 then, and very heavily into baseball.
Okay.
I remember watching, I wasn't supposed to be awake. It was either a school night or I had something going on the next morning. I was supposed to be in bed by whatever my bedtime was then. I remember the Twins in the World Series in 91 were playing it, so my dad let me stay up late that night. And that happened to be the night that Puckett made that catch up against the plexiglass.
Right.
So yeah. I remember that. I remember my dad going crazy. And I had already liked Kirby Puckett before that, just because when you're a kid, especially kids, everyone loved Kirby Puckett.
Right.
But that made me like go crazy for Kirby Puckett.
Yeah. Touch them all.
Yeah, that.
Touch them all.
Yeah. Yeah, man, the 91 Twins. I actually liked the Twins more then, and then I went through a phase, I guess, around high school and college where I was a diehard Brewer fan, so for some reason I kind of, even though the Brewers and Twins aren't like huge rivals or whatever,
yeah,
but for some reason I just started kind of hating the Twins actually a little bit.
Wow,
and that's kind of
hatred grew.
Yeah, and that's kind of waned over the last few years, but definitely still a Brewer fan. I respect the Twins because they play the same kind of baseball that I like. They play small ball.
Yeah.
They're a small market team. They play the game the right way. You know, they build through their farm system instead of, like, going out and getting all these huge free agents. And
right.
So
millions.
I've always respected that. Tom Kelly, remember him being...
Manager?
Yeah, great manager. And even Gardenhire, I have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Twins. Twins are a cool franchise. I like them. Target Field's great.
Yeah. You know, you pretty much nailed it. They play the small ball game, and that's... I love that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be nice if we won another championship.
Yeah,
you know?
They're pretty far away from that
right
now, too.
Yeah. They definitely are part of the Twins. We draft the All-Stars, and then we let them go, and then they can do their thing.
Actually, speaking of that, I don't know if you were listening today at all or saw it, but Francisco Liriano, did he pitch a no-hitter today?
Did he?
I think he might have. He had one going, either no-hitter or perfect game going into like the eighth today.
Yeah. Wow.
So I don't know if he ended up
getting
it, but there's another twin, former twin.
Yep.
Becomes an all-star after he...
Right.
Well, he was an all-star, I guess, with the Twins or close to it, but he's in the Cy Young discussion this year, so...
That makes sense. He's not with the Twins.
Yeah,
so.
that hurts.
Yeah. Yep. David Ortiz.
J.J. Hardy. Which they didn't have him for that long, but right after they got rid of him, he just did amazing with Baltimore.
Yeah, that's unfortunately the way that it seems to work. Timberwolves... Vikings pick up just washed up players usually, and quarterbacks in general.
Man, the Timberwolves are going to be good this year, though.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Let's should we take a break here? We'll get back to find out what the hell who is Breakneck the Mage? Why is he here right now?
Sounds great.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
The Some People's Kids Podcast. It's like the Thank You Rob podcast because Rob is on it.
Rod Small.
But it also has another guy.
Who is it?
His name is Chuck Chase.
Chuck Chase.
And there aren't any guests.
No guests.
So it's not really like the Thank You Rob podcast at all.
I'm confused.
So if you thrive for useless knowledge.
Useless.
And really funny shit.
Yes.
Check out peopleskids.com. Fuck yeah.
Well, we're back. We're recording again. Breakneck the Mage, you're still here. Thanks for returning after... smoking a smooth, cool cigarette.
I am back.
We enjoyed a Pearson salted nut roll, and you know what? I've found that a lot of people that I've had on the show, they often say, "Oh, I haven't had one of these in a while."
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I said.
Yeah, and it's good. I'm glad I can give you that. Maybe it'll bring you back to a certain point in your life as a kid. Maybe I don't know.
It's nice. It's salty and peanuts and.
And nutty. And roly.
Caramely.
And again, you asked, what is this white stuff in the center? And a lot of people question that. Maybe someday I'll find out.
It's a mystery.
Because someday Pearson's is going to call me and say, all right, what do you need? We'll sponsor the show. And they're going to come crawling, man.
That'd be a huge look if you got them to sponsor.
Yeah. But now they're not. I think they're owned by... a bigger
of course.
Company. This was just like in the last few years they're bought out. I mean, they still keep the Pearson's brand name, obviously. So they're not such... I mean, they're still in St. Paul, but I don't think it'll be as easy to get in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, how you doing? You're still doing good?
Doing excellent.
Great. Well, let's talk. Breakneck the Mage. What's new with you?
Oh, I don't know.
The artist. You're working on some shit.
Oh, I'm always working on stuff. Right now, I guess for the next few days, my focus is the show at Honey on Wednesday, which I think will be the day after this airs.
Mm-hmm.
That's the 7th, August 7th.
Okay.
We got Dem Atlas playing with Mike Shank. Their new group is called...
Mike Shank.
Yeah, Mikey. Their new group is called Purgatory Amos.
That's right. He's told me about that.
So they're playing. My guy Cooley, who's my label mate with Breath of Life. A crew called the Owls Crew. And the Lifted Minds guys, who I have play a lot, and they're a lot of fun. There's about 8 million of them in the group. They're like the Wu-Tang Clan. They're like the white Wu-Tang Clan of St. Paul.
The White Tang Clan?
The White Tang Clan of St. Paul. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to just pull this up.
Okay.
A little bit. You're getting a little hot.
Little hot.
That's all right. So just let's just get a little history here. I just did a little history on you. You've been around since like 2003. Ish.
That's correct.
Now, was that college years where you got started?
Yep, I graduated high school in 2003. And, of course, always loved hip-hop growing up and stuff, but never actually started rapping and freestyling and stuff in 2003. I was more of a... I would write prior to that, write poetry, but it was more like poetry form and not really a hip hop form. Okay. So 2003 is around when that started.
Okay. I think a lot of people kind of start with that.
Yeah.
And then, so what actually opened the door for emceeing and brought you into that?
The first thing I did hip hop related was DJing, actually.
Okay.
Couple clubs in Eau Claire needed, basically were just lacking DJs, so me and my friend BZ kind of teamed up like a little DJ duo, got a few gigs and just built from there. Eventually, from like producing beats, we were always producing beats and stuff while we were doing this, and eventually I was just like, well, I should just rap, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And started rapping.
That was it. Where did the name come from?
The funny name, Breakneck the Mage. it's kind of, I don't know. I'm nerdy, I guess. So it's kind of like a mage is a wizard. Breakneck, that's kind of inspired by like kung fu movies that I used to watch. I still watch, but used to be kind of obsessed with kung fu flicks.
Mm-hmm.
Breakneck just sounded like a... something that they would use in that, you know, and I was a big Wu-Tang Clan fan, and of course, the name sort of sounds like something that you would get in, like, a Wu-Tang name generator or something like that.
And which is a real thing, too.
It's kind of, yeah, it is. It's, and that's how Childish Gambino got his name.
Oh, really?
From a Wu-Tang Clan generator.
Yeah.
And I've actually had that name, Childish Gambino, come up in the Wu-Tang generator when I've done it before.
Yeah.
But it's kind of ironic, like breakneck is like a synonym for fast, but I talk and rap kind of slow. So it's kind of ironic that way, too.
Mm. Okay.
So people call me Mage, Breakneck, you know.
The Wizard.
Crazy name. It's unique. I can't change it now. Sometimes
no,
I wish
late.
I could, but it's way too late to
too
change
late.
It now.
Yeah. Well, if 2003 was where it all started, this is the anniversary year.
Yeah, this is a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So maybe it's like, okay, 10 years down, I'm going to reinvent myself.
Mm-hmm. And I've had like aliases I've used for projects like Ty Jiggs. My name is Tyler. Ty Jiggs ended up being an alias I used for an entire mixtape where I did it like in that character as Ty Jiggs. So I've had a few other random aliases I've used and stuff, but it's all under the same umbrella.
Right. So, What was that? What was that?
Man, that's so rude of
I'm
the
sorry.
Host. To...
I'm so sorry. I didn't know if it was something. It was something. So you're originally from Wisconsin.
Yes.
Eau Claire?
Yeah.
Eau Claire?
Eau Claire.
Eau Claire?
Yeah. Well, we
Not
call,
you?
Yeah.
O?
E-A-U, pronounced
Eau.
Eau Claire, French.
Eau Claire. Okay.
Means clear water.
Okay. Born and raised?
Well, yeah, technically Chippewa Falls, which is the next city over.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the music I did, college, and where I lived for 8 years was Eau Claire. So,
yeah. And what brought you here? The Minnesota Twins?
Not the Minnesota Twins per se.
Yeah.
Originally, the first time I moved here was because of music and to get a different job, more opportunities. The second time I moved here was to live with my fiance, basically. That's the primary reason, and of course my music was at a point in Eau Claire where I'd kind of done everything you could do there like multiple times over.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the whole while I was still playing shows in Minneapolis because just friends I had made throughout the years, and I always was playing shows here and stuff, but it's different when you live here, of course.
Right.
A lot easier to promote properly and
yeah.
do all that stuff. And I wanted to get into that. So,
mm-hmm.
And I love the Twin Cities.
It's pretty
a great
cool.
place to live.
I like it.
So,
yeah. So only a few years here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I've known your name for I don't remember when, but it's definitely a name that I've always remembered. And I'm surprised we've never met before.
That one night.
Yeah, that one night.
The one night.
it was the Nomad show, the Honorable Mention Big Jess show.
I'm sure it's one of those situations where we were in the same place a lot of times. But
it seems you know a lot of the same people.
Yeah.
You're part of Strange and Distant.
Yeah.
And that's Mercy's
May. And Caesar.
Yeah.
Yep.
Project, and I've worked with them a lot. Mm-hmm. How did you get in with those guys then?
Through my friendship with Caesar, pretty much. Just kind of was a natural thing. Started working on an album, which I'm still working on, that's entirely produced by him and KG from Out of Bounds. Mm-hmm. So it kind of just naturally happened. I took Mercy's on tour. I didn't take him on tour. He came on tour with me and Anna Lyrical. We went on a tour like 3 years ago now. And I don't know. It kind of happened after that tour. So,
okay,
you know, just getting to know guys and eventually you find out like who has similar sensibilities music-wise, I guess. Right. And it just seemed like it worked.
That's cool. Yeah. Strange and Distant's a good fit for you.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah, it's a great fit. And I also am, like, part of the Breath of Life audio crew, too. Okay. So
you mentioned that earlier. Is that your thing?
That is not technically my thing. It's kind of like a family ordeal, but it was started from Breath of Life Apparel, which you could check out, breathoflifeapparel.com. They have awesome clothes. They're all printed on American Apparel. For every sale they have, they plant a tree. They have a lot of, like, organic shirts and, like, different stuff like that. Really earth-friendly, cool company. Started by my friends from Wisconsin. And I got sponsored by them.
Mm-hmm.
Worked with them a lot. And Breath of Life Audio is just kind of the offshoot of that.
Right.
And one of my best friends that I've known since I was in fifth grade is the one who, like, runs it or whatever. So that was just natural as well.
Cool. So is there any other artists that are part of that? Or
My DJ Attitrack.
Okay.
And Cooley.
Okay. Yeah, you said him earlier.
Yeah, we're looking to expand, too. There's a few other people we're in talks with right now. So.
Okay. Yeah. So, and now this is a separate deal of Strange and Distant then?
Yeah, completely separate. They've worked together on stuff too before, but yeah, it's a completely separate thing.
Okay.
Yep.
Do you know who Amber Ace Cleveland is?
Just from like Facebook and stuff, but no, not really.
She gives me $5 every time I say her name on the show here.
Holy, are you not just Amber Ace Cleveland, Amber Ace Cleveland, Amber Ace Cleveland?
Because she doesn't really give me $5. Oh, I like to tell people that, but theoretically, she owes you $15, or I think you said it three times.
Yes.
Strange and Distant, I'm going to get off topic of Amber Ace Cleveland again here.
Okay.
But that's $10. Mercy's and Caesar are going to be on the show in a few weeks here. I've known them for a while.
Bastards.
Yeah.
Those bastards.
Hey, you got on first. Remember that.
Yeah, you hear that, Caesar?
Yeah.
Ha-ha.
So the album you're working on now, is that a Strange and Distant project, or is it or both, Breath of Life and Strange?
I guess
and
it's going to kind of be both,
yeah.
You know? It's going to be self-titled. It's like my best album I've ever done. Mm-hmm. I've been working on it for like a year, so I put everything into it, so I got to have all my promotional labels, friends, everything involved with it, basically.
Yeah. And this isn't your first album. You've had a few.
I've had a bunch, but this one's like a culmination of like everything I've done, basically.
Cool. When's the ETA for this one?
Man, we're about halfway done, which sounds like I've been working on it a year and we're halfway done. It sounds bad, but really, like, the rest of it that we have left to do is all basically done. It just needs to be, like, we need to rework a few things. I need to shoot a few more vocals. Some of the feature, like, guests have to reshoot their vocals. And then, of course, it'll just be mixing and mastering. I would say it'll be hopefully be out like around maybe December, maybe
just
November.
In time for the holidays.
Yeah, I know, right?
Maybe that should be the name of it. I don't know if you got a name in the works, but
it's just going to be self-titled.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And I know you mentioned in the first email you'd sent me, you said the name of the guests. I don't know if you want to announce that or if that's public knowledge.
For the album?
Yeah.
It might have even changed since then, too, but like Primate is going to be on there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know if you know him. You probably do.
He was on the show a couple weeks ago.
Oh, he was?
We talked about Danzig.
Okay, yeah. That sounds right. Yeah. He's a Wisconsin guy, too.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, Primate will be on there. There's a couple that I can't say. And then Caesar will be on a track in addition to all the production work he's doing. And Add a Track, of course, will be doing the cuts on it. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, the other featured, like, MC aspect of it, I'm not really going to say right now. But it'll be nice. Like, anyone who's familiar with the Minneapolis hip-hop scene will know the names.
Okay.
And you could kind of tell if you go back and look at the people I work with and play shows with, and you could probably take an educated guess if you know anything about me who's going to be on it.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson post-mortem.
Tupac. You paid for
I wasn't
one of
able
his...
to get a Tupac verse, unfortunately. I was always a Notorious B.I.G. guy, though.
Okay.
More so than Tupac.
Would you, if you had the opportunity to buy a like a Biggie verse, like a previously unreleased verse, man. Would you do that?
Oh, my God. What would the price tag on that be, though?
It would probably be hefty, but...
probably be so much. I mean, obviously, but I don't... Then again, I don't know. It'd be, like, weird because our styles aren't anywhere near, like, right. The same stratosphere. So I would think hard about it, and I don't know.
You know...
I don't know.
It's there's something about that that's just, like, you know, yeah, you'd have a song featuring Biggie, but mm-hmm. it's like he didn't like sit down with the
with
beat
me.
and write it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I've always been kind of leery about that kind of stuff. That's why all the like the newer Tupac stuff
after
he died
about.
Is like I was a big Pac fan. I'm a big Biggie fan too, but you know, Pac always obviously had that huge catalog of like stuff, unreleased stuff. To mm-hmm. me, there's a reason why that stuff was never released, you know what I mean? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
They often say he did a lot of recording because he knew he was going to die young, you know, but...
Yeah. It's kind of, I don't know, it's like, I go back and forth with that. I don't know how I feel. Like, I know that there's some, like, idea stuff that's still yet to come out,
mm-hmm.
but I think most of that was, like, if I could be totally wrong, but I'm pretty sure most of that was, like, already crafted for, like, the beats and stuff. Like,
right.
It was actually music he made, he just didn't get it finished yet,
right,
and
yeah.
someone else is going in and like mixing it and
yeah.
mastering it.
Yeah,
so that's actually a little different, I think.
Yeah.
But that'll be cool. I'm really looking forward
right,
to that.
Yeah,
but
actually, when I had Mike Shank on the show, he was telling me that there was he was working on a project with Idea at the time.
Yeah, yeah. I think Isid is doing some of the like product or the mixing and stuff
okay.
of it too.
Right.
So,
that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what else you got cooking here? You got the show on Wednesday. What is this? Any just a show?
It's like the it's like a Breath of Life audio. It's called Bola and Friends. Bola is like the
Breath of Life.
Yeah, Breath
audio.
Of Life audio.
Right. Okay.
Bola and Friends, just a regular show,
mm-hmm.
basically for
YOLO.
Fun. Yeah,
Bola.
YOLO Bola. but after that, I got a rap battle on August 31st. First or the 30th, whatever the Friday of that weekend is. That's for the Loudmouth League, which I also work with. So I do the rap battling thing. I have that, and then a tour in September. So,
what's on the what dates you got there? What
September
cities?
12th through the 20th. And it's not that big. It's only 8 days, so I can just run through all the cities real quick.
Mm-hmm.
We start here in Minneapolis on the 12th. That's a Thursday. The next night we go to Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin for like a hometown show. They always represent me really well there. So going there. After that we go to Des Moines. After Des Moines we head to Nebraska for 3 days. We do Lincoln, Omaha, and McCook, Nebraska. Then we're going to Columbia, Missouri for 2 days, and then ending in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a loop,
right.
Big loop around the Midwest.
Okay. Who's on that?
My guy, Mr. Pizzy from Eau Claire, and TSMC. He's a young cat that I'm good friends with. He's from Nebraska, So he's driving up here to meet us and going on along with us.
That's cool. You got to connect with the out-of-state.
Yeah. And he, like, helped set up the Nebraska shows, too, and right. got the local acts and stuff like that. So it was natural for him to come along.
Cool. Well, hey, thanks for doing the show, man. I appreciate you doing that. Where, if people want to check out Breakneck, the Mage Music, anything, where would they go?
I have a brand new website, breakneckthemage.net. You can check out breathoflifeaudio.com. Check me out on Facebook, Breakneck the Mage on Facebook.
Like him.
Like me. Of course, YouTube. I'm all over YouTube. I got like 50 videos. And on Twitter, it's Breakneck Duh Mage because it was one letter too long. So it's Breakneck D-A Mage on Twitter.
Would you say that you have YouTube on lock?
I wouldn't say I have it on lock. Okay. I'm not getting like millions of views, but I have lots of content right. on YouTube.
Content.
It's all about content.
Right. Cool. Well, thanks for doing the show, man.
Yeah, thank you. It was fun.
I got
gifts for you, too.
Oh, you do? Buttons.
Little promotional.
Nice.
Buttons.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I got to take a minute to plug thankyourob.com. If you go to thankyourob.com, it's kind of a hub where you can check out my iDefine design, web design, graphic design. And then I have another podcast called Some People's Kids Podcast, which is only 6 episodes in. And it's been at a standstill for quite some time. But new episodes to come someday, some way. And I also have a t-shirt. I design logos for t-shirts. I got a little t-shirt shop there, quirky stuff. None of them say YOLO. And by the way, that was probably the first time publicly I've said the word YOLO or the acronym YOLO.
You're going to regret it,
I am. Yeah, I already do. As a matter of fact, the more I talk about it, that's stuff I have to edit out.
It's starting to get depressing.
Yeah. So go check that out. Much more stuff to come. Breakneck the Mage, the new album. And I'll make sure to promote that when it comes out. I try to plug everyone's stuff as it comes out, but... Damn, there's a lot of stuff that happens in this city.
The city is nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. But thanks for listening. Any last words there?
Oh, man. No, just make sure you check out all the other episodes. He's had lots of good guests on.
He speaks the truth.
Check that shit out and eat Pearson's salted nut rolls.
Yes. Chewbacca balls.
You're nothing special, you're nothing I don't know. It's something existential, transparent in your soul. And it's getting kind of old, has me feeling pretty cold. I'm not scared to let it out until the end is set in stone. Now I'm burying this bone till it's resting deep below. I'm used to scary feelings, so I'll gladly keep them close. Every time my eyes close, I can swear I see a ghost. But I'm stronger than you'll ever know, I'm just gonna coast. All you do is boast about the simple things you know, like you're a king or a pope. But I'm seeing through your jokes, screw it. I always knew it, but I never thought to do it. Now it's time I made a movement, and I'm dying trying to prove it. You buy into it, but you can't deny you do it. You act cool when you're in public, but inside you're feeling stupid. Druid, you're not a human, scared of what the truth is. It was useless even saying it, cause everybody knew it. Sometimes I see it when I look into their eyes. It's something that feels pointless, just can't disguise. I know it's good. You're something that I need, allowing me to breathe as you pollinate my seeds. You're saving me from going crazy from the daily things I've seen. You're basically replacing anger from the crazy things I read. Let me explain, you've been my saving grace.
space. You can make me feel amazing on the days I hate my face. You replace the thoughts I hate that were racing through my brain. Day to day, what you say is the way I maintain. I'm saying, what I'm saying is you've been my motivation. This music's my creation, but I know my true salvation. I'm retracing what I faced, now I'm in a better place. Man, I've replayed it in my head, it was dead till you saved it. You made me without knowing it, it's hard for me to show it. I'm just grateful that the moments that we have are so potent. The motion of emotions had me quoting my devotion. An ocean that we're floating in, my whole life.